HD Smartcast. You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Hi, I am Tenzin, and well, I am so many things. An entrepreneur, a public speaker, translation copier, and a lifestyle writer. But at my very core, I am a Tibetan. But if you ask me what Tibet, its people, and the culture is like, then I must honestly say that I have never been to Tibet. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. If you've never been to Tibet either, then this podcast is for you.
Tashi Dilei, and welcome to your favorite podcast, Waking Up Closer to Tibet. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Dorji Rabdin Nishar and Jelpa Vitalani on the topic of Tibetan medicine. Dr. Dorji Rabdin Nishar is a renowned Tibetan medicine doctor, and Jelpa Vitalani is an accomplished multipreneur who is known for setting up Tibetan medicine camps in South Mumbai. In case you missed our previous episode, that is part one of our conversation, then please tune in to our previous episode right now. Soa Rigpa, or the Tibetan art of healing, is one of the oldest healing traditions in the world. It propounds a holistic outlook on health and vitality. And I believe all of us, we have the power of being able to heal ourselves with the right lifestyle and mindset. So I hope that this conversation benefits you and it motivates you to get on the path of self-improvement. Jelpa Vitalani is known for setting up Tibetan medicine camps in South Mumbai. But what inspired her to take up this initiative, and when was the first time that she was introduced to Tibetan medicine?
Tenzin, when we were at the palace, once we finished the conference, I remember Guru Sharanji, who was his foreign affairs officer at that time, he said that, you know, it's very nice if you're going to take your parents. I'm going to arrange this entire meeting for you to go and meet His Holiness's personal physician at Mensikhang, which is the hospital in Dharamshala. So he said, you must, because it's an integral part of Tibetan culture, and His Holiness's personal physician will be seeing you. So they arranged this at the palace, and the next thing we were at Mensikhang. And I remember we met Dr. Tamdin at that time, and I was amazed. I was sitting in this room, and you know, he did a pulse reading, and within a few minutes, he told my parents everything that they needed to know about their physical health, their vitality. You know, in the last 1 year, if they've done any tests or anything, the whole reading within a matter of minutes. So I was so amazed that I said, okay, please do my pulse reading as well. Next thing, I go to the other section, you know, to the clinic where they make the medicines. And I learned that these are medicines made from formulas which are 2,500 years old. They pick up the herbs from the mountains. They are looking at the constellations, the nakshatras, and then picking up the herbs. I'm also a farmer, so I understand all this, you know, in terms of biodynamic farming. And when they prepare the medicine, they're actually chanting Tibetan mantras. So you see, it's beautiful. It's a very holistic, sacred, and scientific approach. So I was amazed. And, you know, when I came back, we got the medicines, and I asked him how much I have to pay, because it was a 3 weeks supply. And for all three of us, I must have not paid more than 2,000 rupees. So I was like amazed, because I have this beautiful, precious medicine. And when we came back, all three of us started having it. And I found a distinct, shift in terms of vitality and other things, you know, especially in my parents. So at that time, every time what I did is very enthusiastically, I put together a nice creative, you know, a whole little note on Tibetan medicine. And I didn't know that there were clinics in Mumbai myself. So I was like, I live in Mumbai, and how come I've never heard of it? So I made this whole little brochure with creatives, you know how it is with the art gallery. You will always bring in that touch into everything you do. And I started distributing it to everybody who came to the gallery, and I started talking to my friends. And I was amazed, because nobody knew about the clinics in Mumbai. And I'm not exaggerating. I must have shared this with a few 100 people. And in 2 months, I realized that hardly maybe two people knew about the clinics or much about Tibetan medicine. So then I didn't know how I'm going to organize a camp, but I just decided that I'm going to organize a Tibetan medical camp. I wrote to the director of Mensikhang and I got incredibly busy, not exactly knowing how I'm going to go about it. And my parents were like, you know, Jalpa, you know, you're always up to something, but what are you up to? Because you're super busy. And I told my father that, you know, Dad, I just think this is such an amazing, I mean, it's wealth and people don't know. We must share this with everybody. You know, the minute something touches you, you want to bring it out to the rest. And he said, you know, Jalpa, I will do whatever it is to support you. You just go out and make it as beautiful and as perfect and just let me know. And, you know, so a lot of different things. He got himself involved at different levels. And that's how we started the journey. And I remember we had the centenary celebrations of Mensikhang in Bombay. And that time it was the first camp held in South Bombay. No camp had ever been held in South Bombay. And since then, you know, it's just been, it's a journey. And I think it's part of our life's purpose. You know, the way Dad and me see it is to be associated and to spread the message of Tibetan medicine.
People from around the world consume Soa Rigpa medicines. Apart from the general herbal pills that patients are prescribed upon diagnosis, there are also something called the Eight Precious Pills, or Ripu in Tibetan. There are a total of 8 types of precious pills that are recommended by our doctors to each be consumed on specific auspicious days according to the lunar calendar. What is fascinating here is the relationship between the planetary system and the consumption of ripus. When you consume the precious pills on special days based on the Tibetan lunar calendar, then the efficacy of these pills also improves. The reason why they're known as precious pills is because of their precious composition. These pills don't just contain rare herbs and minerals, but also have spiritual energies. They comprise a variety of elements such as gold, silver, precious stones, gems, rocks, minerals, and rare herbs. These elements or ingredients are purified during the purification process, and the toxicity of these elements are removed. During the manufacturing process, the medicines are preyed upon and are blessed. The efficacy of these pills also depends on seasons. A few pills are best for summers, a few others in winters. And recitation of medicine Buddha mantra can also help enhance the efficacy of these precious pills. So, the pills are beneficial for everyone, and you don't have to be a Buddhist to reap its benefits. The medicines have no side effects.
I think it's not that something which we differentiate between the, you know, sometimes we used to say ordinary medicines and then the precious pills, but you know, it's almost the, you know, fresh, this, you have to look at those medicines with the equal kind of, we'll say, respect and efficacy. Mm? But precious pills are something which sometimes we find it very difficult to explain also. You know, kind of composition of so many elements put it together. You know, and not only, you know, the metals and sometimes the, even this, you know, what do you call it, precious stone, semi-precious stone, gold, silver, you know, all the precious gems and then the rocks, rocky substances, the minerals, then the very rare kind of herbs and all, maybe sometimes even 70 to 80 different kind of ingredients, you know, the herbal mineraling all put together, you know. And then with not only with that, but, you know, going through the kind of a purification, you know, chemical and removal of the toxicity of these elements, you know, even metal like, you know, gold, silver, all, you know, kind of toxicity removal. And then how you really make something like, you know, as they do in the kind of some African city, the making a best, most potent and a medicine from the most venomous, or what do you call it, toxic kind of snakes.
Okay.
Toxic snakes, something like that, you know. So, and then with the kind of, with the kind of laborious and a spiritual kind of, the initiations and, what do we call it, and consecrations and, so many spiritual kind of energy it put forward into this. Well, this precious bill. So therefore, in the kind of the effects of the each and every precious bill, we in the clearly mentioned medical text is unfathomable. But for the interest, yes, this precious bill helps in this, that precious bill helps in this. And they, because of their different kind of properties also, the precious bill works best when you're in summer. Some of the precious will work best during the winter, autumn, and something like that. And especially some of the precious will work particularly during the 8th lunar calendar, full moon day of the 8th lunar month.
Okay.
We say that all the coolest element of the cosmic energy is comes into place. That time when you manufacture these precious pills, manufacture this medicine, the effect becomes very strong. And when you take this precious pill on that day, they kind of overall the effect becomes much more stronger.
The medicine Buddha is known as Bhajasya Guru in Sanskrit and Sangye Menla in Tibetan. He is deep blue in color and is believed to have healing powers. The medicine Buddha mantra is known to be extremely powerful for healing of physical illnesses and purification of negative karma.
So, we have the medicine Buddha, which His Holiness has presented to us. It has a special place in our home. And, the medicine Buddha is actually a teacher of medicine and the king of lapis lazuli, they say, So His radiant body is azure blue. And, for me, of course, I completely connect to His energies in a sacred way. And even aesthetically, if you look, His left hand is in a meditation mudra. And He's holding a begging bowl, which is full of the long life nectar in His lap. So that's a symbol of longevity. As a sign, He is also giving a protection of illness. And His right hand is outstretched, in the gesture of giving, which holds the great medicine, the myrobalan plant, which is, I think, called the Arura. And, personally, I definitely connect to His energies. But, even if we're talking about the formless, even if we're talking about, Lord Dhanvantri, who's a Lord of good health, what I mean to say is it's more within, So it's also, your own, way of connecting. And I definitely think this kind of, puts you more in sync. Thought, body, mind, and action is completely aligned to whatever you're doing when you're taking the medicines as well. But it's not like Dr. Dodgy said, even if you know nothing about the medicine Buddha, it doesn't happen. Grace flows in and out of each of us. And yes, but I do connect to His energies personally.
The intent of Tibetan medicine is to serve the entire world, as illness is universal and the need to cure it too. The medicines are made with a compassionate heart. The results of these medicines may not be as quick as modern medicine, but they can help in preventing diseases. Since people demand quick results today, will Tibetan medicine survive in the future? What is the future of Tibetan medicine?
Going back to something like 1980s, 1980s, very few Tibetans who, are taking up the Tibetan medicines. And then we were just almost like forced to take up the Tibetan. In my case, I was just forced to take up the Tibetan medicine just because I came from a lineage of the Tibetan doctors, family, physicians, family Tibetan doctors. So my parents forced me to go to Menzikam Tibetan Medical College in Dharamsala, and after finishing my higher secondary education, That time we were only 28 kind of students, just picked up.
Okay.
you know, and the next bit, you know, 5 years was almost very similar. But then now you have, in these more than 30 years, you have almost like 200 to 300 Tibetan students, almost like every second year, third year, you know, and coming to join the Tibetan Medical College studies in Dharamsala. And only very, you know, few of them, something like 40 to 50 gets admission, you know. Okay. And not only that, now we have in Dharamsala, probably, not many though, but few, you know, the non-Tibetans also taking up Tibetan medicines, and some Japanese, Americans, and, you know, that learn Tibetan so fluently, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's a kind of a nice experience, you know, to see them talking Tibetan very fluently, you know, and even kind of reciting the text of the Tibetan medicines and the orally in very, very, very friendly. Mm? So therefore, I think interest is growing. Interest is definitely growing. And at the same time, the demands are also growing. Mm? Even in Bangalore, I have, you know, many kind of, you know, patients who have been benefited a lot, you know, especially with Tibetan medicine, particularly with cancer. And each of these patients from the different kind of, you know, states in India, you know, even from Coimbatore, from Kerala, from Tamil Nadu, from Hyderabad, wanting to have the Tibetan Medical Center in their place. And they're coming up with their own kind of generous offering of the place and the space in their own kind of, you know, locality. So which means that Tibetan medicines are going to stay. And many of my patients even told me, Dr. Dorji, sometimes I feel that you Tibetan don't get it, you know, don't go back to Tibet. Your Tibet doesn't become free.
So that we have it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so therefore, I think, you know, the main thing is the kind of the blessings of the medicine Buddha. And the most important thing is the fundamental principle, the fundamental teaching of the Tibetan medicines that actually rooted in the Buddha's own teaching of the nature of the suffering, you know, the cause of the suffering, the truth of the suffering, you know, the cause of the kind of, you know, the cause of the, truth of the cause of the suffering, you know, the cessation of the suffering. All based on the truth, all based on the fundamental principle, you know. And therefore, I think it's more like, you know, the nature itself, you know, trying to kind of, you know, the understand the whole concept of the, what we call the relationship between the macrocosmic, that is like, you know, the universe, the outer, our outer environment, and the microcosmic, our own body system. You know, when you try to understand the kind of dynamic relationship, interrelation between these two kind of, you know, the macro and micro kind of universe, then the health, the ultimate health is there, you know, so which is unshakable, you know.
The Tibetan youth is taking interest in Tibetan medicine. In fact, along with Tibetan students, there are many international students studying the subject. They speak fluent Tibetan and recite all the ancient Tibetan medicine texts. The interest is so much so that in India, many patients humorously told Dr. Dorji that Tibetans shouldn't go back to Tibet because of, you know, Soar Rigpa, that is the Tibetan medicine. Because they need Tibetan medicine and they also need Tibetan doctors in India. So there are very few Indians who know about Tibetan medicine, but there are also many who are not aware that Tibetans actually live in India, that we have our refugee settlements, that we have our Tibetan medicine clinics in numerous places in India. And in Mumbai, especially South Mumbai, people, you know, had almost no idea about our medicine. So what was it like for Gelpa setting up the first ever Tibetan medicine camp
in South Mumbai. And what was the kind of response that you received?
People from all bandwidths have come in, you know, from different parts of the country, from different communities. You know, the youngest patient has been an infant, few months old. And the oldest patient I think I've witnessed is about 92 years old.
So wow, that's amazing.
In that sense, it's been incredible, you know. And like I had shared earlier that, you know, when I started organizing the first camp, I said, you know, we're doing all this work and I made different clinics and, you know, the director from Dharamshala, you know, they had a format in place to have a camp. But I had somehow imagined and visualized much more because I knew this is about wellness and I knew that message has to come through. And we're trying to explain. A lot of people had not heard the word Mensikhang or they were not aware as much as they should be. So, you know, I kept trying to highlight that we're bringing His Holiness's personal physician. The idea was to just say that His Holiness is also, you know, in a way, advocating because of the benefits of this immense, you know, the benefits of Tibetan medicine. So anyway, when we started, I didn't know how many people will show up, right? And I remember the first day when I came home and the second day I used to come home and I used to cry. And because I was just overwhelmed by how people have reached, you know, and we had people from different parts of Gujarat and Maharashtra. I remember somebody flew in from Calcutta, old people. And, you know, it was amazing because I think, you know, like, for instance, my parents have always taught by way of example. And my mom and other, you know, they took to with the ladies at the, you know, at the ladies at the Sansta where we did the camp. They had organized simple snacks or tea or coffee because, you know, how they say, like a guru's always taught you that don't let anybody go without having. Now, normally, practically, these things are not easy or possible in a medical camp, but by grace, everything flowed beautifully, you know, and the doctors, like I said, they were relentlessly working. And, you know, they are such amazing role models, really. And, you know, they motivate, like Dr. Dorji motivated his whole team in the camp, the last camp that we had. And, you know, while we're talking about this, I'm going to briefly talk that I, you know, like the gallery, Cosmic Heart Gallery and my father's company, Cosmic Global Aviation, has, of course, been an integral part of organizing all the camps. But the first camp was held with this ladies organization called Bhartrishi Seva Sangh and their president, Shri Shakuntala Pare. And then the next camp, we went to another area. We said, okay, now let's try Andheri. We are always trying to be close to a local station. Because remember one thing, you know, besides the morning 1 hour and the inauguration, Tenzin, I don't know the people who are coming in. It's amazing how they stream in from so many places. So we were always think of easy access. So then we had it with this organization called Sri Gogari Lohana Mahajan, which is doing good work. And the president, Satish Bhai Vitlani, he extended amazing support. Then the third medical camp we had with at Lakhani Banquets, which was in Malad. You know, so we are also venturing because we want more and more people to know. And then people who, you know, we always inform them. So the ones who've attended the first camp are anyway coming. And there's somebody called Rajesh Lakhani, who's brilliant. I mean, he even went beyond call of duty and we organized lunch for a lot of the old people. And our media partner has been Janmabhoomi, which is the CEO. Kundan Vyas is a phenomenal man and he carried the message of every camp. And I think this also helped and, you know, people from different parts of the country to come. And not just that, you know, we've had people like Rageshwari Lumba, who's a mindfulness speaker, you know, Priya Dutt, who's doing some, you know, politician, amazing social work, Mahendra Gelani, who's a senior partner at a law firm, again, a philanthropist, you know, Dr. Vinay Jacob from Bombay Hospital, who's one of the top reconstructive and plastic surgeons in the country, or Anil Murarka, you know, who's a CEO, an industrialist. All of these people have come and supported the camp, whether it was for the inauguration, you know, because they all know it's a good cause. We've even had Sri Jayaprakash Thakur, who's a social worker and also a politician.
Okay.
And like I said, honestly, my parents have led by way of example. So I think philanthropic work is a part of, you know, integral part of us, all of us, actually, I think, when I look at what the work you do as well. And the highlights of the medical camp, you know, the way I visualize it, Tenzin, was that this should be a complete cultural experience. You know, even now what you're doing through your program, and I congratulate you for it, is bringing such beautiful, social cultural messages, you know, to the world at large. And, you know, especially from, you know, the gifts from the Tibetan people. And these, I call this Tibetan treasures of health and art. Okay, when we were talking about the camps, and they have this beautiful title, which they talk about healthy mind, healthy body. And, you know, the first camp was headed by Dr. Tenzin Thai. The second camp was by Dr. Rezwan Rinzin. And the next camp was by Dr. Dorji, who's with us. And so all through the camps, you know, we had the medical consultations, the pulse reading happening by an expert team of doctors. Okay. And everybody could get a pulse reading within a matter of few minutes. And these were free, you know, and even otherwise, if you go to the, you know, the clinic, I don't think it's more than 100 rupees. And these medicines were brought all the way from Dharamshala and made from the formulas, which are ancient, like 2,500 years old. What was very interesting is that we had Tibetan astroscience consultations and readings. So, you know, the Tibetan elemental astrology is very, very powerful. It's based on five elements, the 12-year cycle. You know, there are some magic square numbers. And these readings were available just for 500 rupees, you know, a half an hour session. And sometimes and very often they support the pulse readings. So, mm-hmm. you know, as well, it kind of goes in tandem. And then, you know, mm-hmm. being a curator and a founder of the art gallery, it comes naturally to bring creativity and beauty, right? So I organized a beautiful art exhibition of Buddhas, you know, and we also had an exquisite collection by a local artist, Sarfaraz Laskari. In fact, one of his works is with His Holiness. And besides that, you know, from Dharamshala, there's a medical and astro exhibit, which they bring down. There are wellness lectures, video screenings happening, you know, and of course, all the Sauric products are available. Amazing books on His Holiness, the Dalai Lama are available. So if you come in, there's a lot happening, you know, it's a beautiful experience. And I remember, you know, somebody telling me it's like you brought Dharamshala to Mumbai. And we really went.
That's a compliment.
You know, and, you know, even the director, after some time, he just, you know, initially I would tell him, I want to do this and that. And he was like, is she doing a medical camp or something more? But then he gave in because I think after the first camp, he was so happy that they stopped questioning anything. And we even got for the first camp jewelry from the markets.
Okay.
So, you know, people, once they did their pulse readings, they were not actually leaving. They were kind of being there in the space, you know, mm-hmm. and you know, Tanka paintings, right? It's they are beautiful. The Tibetan Buddhist paintings, they are on cloth or cotton, you know, and they normally depict a Buddhist deity, a scene or a mandala. I have something in my room, which was presented to me at the camp. And, you know, art is used as a meditation tool by Tibetans to bring one further down on the path of enlightenment. So, you know, a Buddhist practitioner uses a Tanka image usually as a deity, as a meditation piece, and they visualize themselves as being one with the deity, you know, internalizing the Buddhist qualities within us. Actually, everything is within, right? So we had a beautiful, exquisite collection of Tanka paintings. And also Buddha, as we know, he used every opportunity to awaken, you know, whether it was in daily life or in his blissful state or even in the death process, even in transmutation. So I do believe that we can all consciously choose to be on the path of evolution on this journey of life, you know. And even as a gallery, we've always tried to give subliminal messages through art. So I use these camps to promote a lot of Tibetan art and culture. And each of us can choose to be a Buddha, you know, unraveling the mysteries of inner harmony and peace in our lives. And yes, so the Tibetan camps have been, like I said, amazing. In fact, sometimes the older people I find, and I think Dr. Dorji is witness to, they've been there for, sometimes they've almost spent a day. Next few hours, they don't want to
go. Entire day, they just want to stay there because they love it so much.
Stay there. And the last camp which we had at Lakhani Banquets, you know, even Rajesh Bhai Lakhani, his brother, they were so happy and they've been such an integral part. Like I said, he even organized a lunch for people who come from very far and, you know, older people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, simple things like at least tea, coffee and biscuits also, because you'll be amazed how people have reached. I cannot even describe it. So besides
from everywhere.
Formalities, it was the first 2-3 hours that time, you know, the people who are there, a lot of people come to support it, like some of the names I've given, but for the rest, it was incredible. It was incredible. And the doctors wouldn't stop when they saw people, you know, Dr. Dorji and all, I think they've worked for 12 hours a day. So hats off to them.
There is a story of an individual who is suffering from stage 2 bone marrow cancer. He consumed Tibetan medicine and it gradually got him out of the condition. Jelpa will narrate the story as she heard this story firsthand from the patient's mother.
There is somebody who's very, very special and synonymous with Tibetan medicine and bringing it to Mumbai. And, you know, it would be incomplete without talking about her. There is Jaya Maheshwari from Pune. And we all fondly call her Jaya Ma. So back in the day, Tenzin, her son, Milan Maheshwari, who was just 34 at that time, he was detected with bone marrow cancer. Mm-hmm. And he needed 5 bottles of blood transfusion per month. Okay. And they had even taken him to the US, to America for treatment. And at that time, you know, Jayama heard about Tibetan medicine. So she took her son to Dharamshala. And he was also, he had a very strong willpower, you know, and he was very committed to helping himself. He had not lost hope, even though it was not a very good situation, you know, I mean, from a medical point of view at that point. Mm-hmm. And 15 days after he started the Tibetan medicine, his red blood cell count got better. And in 6 months, he was cured. And today, I think he's over 65 years old. He just got his daughter married. And there was no need for blood transfusion after 6 months. So Jayama was instrumental in opening the first clinic for Tibetan medicine in Navi Mumbai at that time. Now, she heard that, you know, there is this girl, Jalpa, who's going to organize a camp in South Bombay. So she was thrilled because she's saying, never there has been a camp in South Bombay. So she took my number and she started calling me up. Tenzin, there is such an amazing karmic connection with her as it is with all of you, actually. But she started calling me every week. It's like I know her. You know how my parents will encourage me. And definitely, I give them a lot of credit for anything that I do because, like I said, they lead by way of example. But Jayama called me every week that, beta, how's it going? What are you planning? So I told her that I'm doing this. I'm speaking to the director. There's that. And she's saying, you know, you're going to take this work forward a lot. And I'm like, Jayama has not met me. So I even used to joke with her. I said, Jayama, how do you know? Anyway, she, even till now, she's in touch with me. Every camp, she's encouraged me to the next level. And she is been amazing. So you can see this example. Her son is doing fabulously. And, you know, another thing that it is so important to mention during the pandemic, all the doctors, all the clinics have worked relentlessly. They did not close down during COVID. And the amount of patients they have helped is unimaginable. Outside the clinics, you know, they used to have so many people waiting. And they're all taking a lot of even good things like Tultang, other medicines, which helps to improve your immunity and vitality. And they stood strong and well and healthy through this period. So, like I said, there are no better role models than the doctors themselves. And all of you are so good looking, inside and out.
Dr. Dorji has helped so many patients with cancer. And his perspective on this subject is that only you can help heal yourself. You must not give up when you're diagnosed with a serious disease. If you give up mentally, you're accepting that nothing can be done and that you're ready to die. So having a resilient, positive mental attitude is key.
Cancer, it's growing. Now it's becoming like an epidemic.
Right.
Yes, so we need to look at the root of all this suffering, you know, not look at the simply cancer and the abnormal cell activity in your body. And then, you know, bombard it with, you know, chemotherapy.
True.
So therefore, focus is that, you know, how you really view this, the health, you know, in general. Therefore, people need to be, you know, mentally, it's something kind of ingrained in their mind that they need to change their whole attitude, you know. So they need to play a role in themselves, you know. So, it's not only the medicines, it's a kind of, you know, the emotions, your mental, your emotions, your social, everything comes into play, you know. So when you're capable of, you know, the dealing with all this, you know, and you really set up the kind of atmosphere, the proper atmosphere for a proper kind of healing energy to take place, you know, when you're mentally blocked. There are some patients, you know, who comes to us, you know, but they're brought by their own family members, the patient, they themselves, they are not, they are willing to take the medicines. They have given up their life. They have given up. And they have seen the facilities in the 5-star hospitals. Now they have got to something like very shabby looking, some small clinic with their doctors like me. What kind of benefit? What kind of healing? What kind of they can give, you know? Yeah, my first priority is to make sure that patient become more, what do you call it,
he must not give up.
No, must not give up. And it really participate. If you really want to participate in your healing, if you want to take the responsibility of health in your own, because you can't blame your family members.
Correct.
It is your body. It is your disease. You have to take the responsibility. And you have an immense kind of quality in yourself, in your body, in your mind, to bring it out and help yourself. And if you're not going to do that, please don't waste my time. Please go back. And if you want to really make things happen, you need to first of all open up. Open up your heart, which is like a lotus. All the petals of the lotus opens up. Then you see the beauty with it, When you see the beauty and in our health in its pristine kind of glory. When your heart is closed, nothing goes in. Then it's all negative. It's all darkness. So you need to open up your heart first and want to receive our, blessings of the medicine. That is possible.
Okay, this may sound cliche, but this is right from the bottom of my heart. I don't know what is that you are going through right now, mentally or physically. One thing I know for sure is that you can feel better if you take absolute control of your life. If you only believe that you can heal yourself. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I hope that it was helpful. Until then, take good care of yourselves. I will meet you very soon. Ciao. If you liked this episode, then please give me a shout out by mentioning me in your Instagram stories and posts. My Instagram handle is tenzin.chidun.24. That is tenzin.chodun.24. You can also DM me if you have any questions. To stay updated about Waking Up Closer to Tibet, don't forget to follow at HD Smartcast on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. To listen to more podcasts, log on to hdsmartcast.com or Suno Ne Nazariye Se.
This was an HD Smartcast original.
HD Smartcast.